Following Christ and Minimalism. I've been drawn to do some research on the minimalist movement in the past few days, particularly the writings of the minimalist Joshua Fields Milburn and his best friend of over 20 years, Ryan Nicodemus, whose documentary Minimalism I had watched on Netflix and was intrigued by several months ago. Because they are not obviously Christian, I've had some feelings of guilt for spending my time with them. But this morning upon awakening at 3:30 a.m., I realized that God was speaking to me through these two young men who have demonstrated the courage to follow their hearts in very practical and concrete ways in a materialistic culture which is blatantly against all they are espousing in their lives and their writings. More importantly, I realize that the basic premise of minimalism is more biblical than many things I read by Christian writers. Simply put, it is to consciously find what is most important to you, of most value, and then consciously use all your time and energy, physical, mental, and emotional, pursuing that, which means getting out of your life everything that interferes with that pursuit, which is where minimalism comes in. Getting rid of all those things which consume your time, energy, and thought life, but are not contributing to what is of value to you. This would include a careful examination of all other aspects of your life, relationships, and habits such as diet and exercise. I am reminded of Jesus' words to the rich young ruler and also to the multitudes. Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And also the words of Paul, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. Yes, the cost of following the Christ is getting out of our lives everything that is interfering with that goal and putting in whatever contributes to it. Orthodox Christianity has presented us with a God that always requires of us that which is hard, distasteful, and unenjoyable. When we do those things which bring us and others joy, we feel we are being selfish or self-indulgent. We believe it is suffering that perfects us. Yet the kingdom of heaven consists of righteousness, peace, and joy, and it is our Father's good pleasure to give it to us. This, of course, doesn't mean that we will never experience difficulty, but rightly viewed, it will be momentary light affliction, not that which causes us to labor and be heavy laden. We can count it all joy, as James, Paul, and even Jesus did, because we are pursuing that which matters most to us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've maintained from the beginning of this website that we have made Christianity so much more complex than it need be. God is appearing to me now in the writings of Joshua and Ryan to show me further what this simplicity looks like in everyday life. We Christians miss so much of what God is saying to us when we don't understand that we, Christian or not, are all members of one another, for there is but one body and one spirit. We also miss out when we don't understand that we are instructed to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is indeed directing us even when it doesn't seem very spiritual, and when we are instructed to pay heed to someone whom we don't believe to be Christian. Our responsibility is simply to remain in a state of listening and follow whatever desire we have trusting in God's promise to continually point out the way we are to go and steer us away from that which is not beneficial. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. The danger is to be so religious that we cannot without guilt go where we are led, or worse yet, even hear that voice which is directing us. When we do hear a word from God, it is so very important that we act upon that word immediately, or we are in danger of forgetting what we have heard. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yesterday I read many of the essays of Joshua, the minimalist, where he says that his passion, of extreme value to him, is writing, and that when he awakens in the morning feeling refreshed from sleep, usually between 3 and 5 a.m., he gets out of bed and writes while there are no distractions and his mind is clear. That really struck a chord with me because I feel that I am called by God to write and almost always awaken very early in the morning. Disclaimer: I am in no way suggesting that this young man is hearing from God or that what he writes is even edifying. What I am saying is that because the Christ is in everyone, he can speak to us through any vessel, even those we may not consider spiritual. So this morning I acted upon what I had heard as I began to write this contemplation. I sense a new freedom now to really focus on what is most important to me, starting with what Jesus said is the great commandment, that is the summation of all biblical teaching, loving God and our brother. I am learning to identify that which is causing me to be physically exhausted and emotionally stressed, whatever interferes with the love walk as described in 1 Corinthians 13. Not only to identify those things, but also to consciously begin the process of removing them from my life. No easy task for anyone, but very rewarding. Joshua and Ryan have identified most of the culprits, chief among them being 1. Material possessions that we don't need and don't bring us joy, while eating up large segments of our time and energy, buying, maintaining, organizing, cleaning, getting rid of, and replacing. Jesus said it this way, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." 2. Activities that serve no meaningful purpose in our lives. For example, mindlessly watching TV or surfing the internet. Working in a job we don't like to buy things we don't need. Attempting to do all the good educational, artistic, religious, whatever things there are to do and never enjoying any of them. And 3, relationships, where neither of us is being helped by the other to grow up into Christ. I did hear from God years ago that I was to unclutter my life so that I could embark on the spiritual journey which has brought me to where I am now in my relationship with God. And I did that. I gave away most of my possessions so that I could go wherever I felt God was leading me. Now I am being challenged to take this revelation to another level, to let go of anything and everything that saps my physical, mental, and emotional energy, which should be spent doing what God has called me to do. Do I have the faith to do that which is contrary to what others think I should be doing? Faith to form new habits after a lifetime of old ones? Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I have heard the Word of God to unclutter all areas of my life. Because I have heard, faith has come. Faith to do what I have heard, lest I forget and never actually experience what I've heard. I have a new understanding of James' words, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This does not mean that we get anything from God by what we do. It means rather that if I don't act upon what I hear from God, even though faith comes when I hear, that faith is dead and is of no benefit to me whatsoever. What I do as a result of hearing is just evidence of my faith, believing that I have indeed heard and willing to do whatever is necessary to act upon what I've heard. Right now, I'm realizing that I have to train myself to think differently about food and to give myself permission to act differently without feeling guilty. To have more time and energy to read, meditate, and write, I must simplify my food preparation, cease trying to maintain my reputation as a good cook, and stop feeling responsible for other people's needs and desires in the matter of food. I have to continually allow the Holy Spirit to direct both my thoughts and actions, or I will gravitate back into my old habits. As I succeed in this area, I can begin to apply this revelation to other areas of my life. As I keep my focus on what God is calling me to do, rather than all the good things I could be doing and have done for so many years, I will be able to easily let go of the things, activities, habits, and even relationships that are hindering me as I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Note, it is now 2 weeks later, and I have written 6 contemplations as I have begun to act upon the word recorded in this one.